Luke chapter 15, please. All right. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand this lesson of a prodigal's heart and answer the question, do we have a prodigal's heart? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I believe it's very important to emphasize to everyone here, and including our children, that you don't have to be a prodigal. Amen. I've seen many prodigals that have walked out that door. I've seen some that have stuck around. Like the older brother who harbored those same feelings as his younger brother, only he was the older brother, but he still had a problem. Right? And God showed that, illustrated that, Jesus did in that, as he was on earth in that parable. What the younger brother acted out about in his heart, his older brother harbored in his. But let's look at the heart of a prodigal. I want to give you some signs of a prodigal, and I want you to examine your heart. And, you know, be careful and be cautious. Do you have a prodigal's heart? That's a question. The first thing we notice out of the prodigal son here, and the Bible never calls him the prodigal son. We're using that for case of the story. But the first thing we notice is impatience and entitlement. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Dad, give me what is owed to me. His father is not even gone yet. And he wants his inheritance while his father is yet alive. What happened to him? He was impatient. He said, there's promises to God, but there's promises that my father's going to give me these things, but I want it now. I want it now. The heart of a prodigal lacks patience. He cannot wait for the blessing and the promises of God, but wants what he believes is owed to him right away. Right now, give me, give me, give me, and I'm gone. Right? Like a child, too impatient. It reminds me of that story of, was it passion and patient, or passion and impatience? Is that what it is? Thank you. Patience and passions. Thank you. It reminds me of that story, Pilgrim's Progress, that part of it, where it talks about those two. One was happy because they got what they wanted right away, passion was, got everything they wanted that they thought was owed to them and that they deserved. And I'm telling you, I've seen so many young Christians do that. They think that they are owed something and they're going to get what they deserve no matter what. One was too impatient, made fun of the other who was patient to wait upon his Lord. And passion ended up squandering all of his goods. The heart of a prodigal is impatient. You know, if you want to get out of line with God as a child of God, then become impatient to wait on your Heavenly Father. You'll get out of line real quick. James chapter 1, turn there, please. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Listen to me, friend. When somebody tells me they're called of God to do something, I'll say, okay, we'll see what trials you go through and what ones you try to get out of. Because if you can't go through the simple trials of life, like I said last week, if you can't run with the footmen, you'll never contend with horses. knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. An impatient man is a very double-minded man. I've seen it. Oh, my goodness, have I seen it. And so recently have I seen it. I look at the impatience. I look at the double-mindedness and the blindness that comes from that pride. The absolute blindness that comes from that pride. The heart of a prodigal is very impatient. This young prodigal was ready to leave his father's house and wanted all the benefits of his father's house and being his son. Listen, without all the responsibility that goes along with it. Give me, but don't give me the responsibility. You know, I've seen a lot of people like that. There's a guy on the internet right now begging for money for his ministry. He's not a pastor. He doesn't pastor a church. He runs an internet ministry. And he's begging for money. Right? And he's telling people that, you know, the labor is worthy of his hire. Well, that's talking about a pastor in a local New Testament church. He's admonishing the Corinthians to not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. That's not for some internet jokester out there begging for money. Yeah, somebody that doesn't want the responsibility of going through the things I just talked to you about, right? And suffering through those things and being patient through those things and dealing with those things doesn't want to go through that, right? No, of course not. But they want the benefits of it. He had an impatient heart. When you get ahead of God and his leadership over you, you think you have it all figured out. You think you know better than God and his God-given authority over you. And just like a child, I've seen it. Dad, give me the keys of the car. Son, you're not old enough for the keys of the car. You're not responsible enough to drive. No, Dad, listen to me. You don't understand. I told you I need the keys of the car. Son, I told you, when you can clean your room, when you can take care of your duties, when you can show responsibility, when you can learn discipline, then you'll get the keys of the car. Amen. No, Dad, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to tell you. I don't think you get it. Yeah, I did. I cleaned my room yesterday for like a week and a half. Everything's going great. Right? I got it all figured out. Sure you do, son. I know you think you do, son. And listen to me. I've seen a lot of guys come in here that are newly saved do the same thing to me. I know what I'm doing. Look, I've been saved for a whole 2 years. And the old ones, that's right. But I've seen a lot of young guys come in and do that. I've seen a lot of old guys do it too. I know what I'm doing. Well, God still placed his authority in your life. Amen. Just like a father says to a son, son, God still gave me authority over you. Amen. And you submitted to it, that's right. Mm-hmm. When you become a member, you're saying, I submit to that. I do submit to that. That's what you're saying. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, the Bible says, and be clothed with humility. That's right. I've seen it, though. Give me my portion anyway. Very impatient. How many times we get into trouble when we get ahead of God? And how painful the lessons will be when we get ahead of God. Amen. Oh, I've seen it. Amen. And sometimes you just got to let people go and do what they're going to do and watch what happens. Because they want to be a prodigal and they're going to go. Just like the prodigal, man, he had it all figured out. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Look, I got this all thing figured out. Just give me my inheritance. Give me, and I'm gone. Look, I know. Look, Dad. I know, you know, we got this nice house, and we got all our needs met, and we have all this land, and we have all this stuff. But, Dad, listen, I'm ready for the big time. Sure you are, son. Sure you are. You know what comes out of impatience? Then grows an entitlement mentality. Well, you owe me. Everybody owes me something. I'm not treated fair enough. I don't get enough time. I don't get to preach enough. Look, Pastor, you don't understand. I need to be preaching and warring more. Right? I need to be preaching and warring more. No. You need to be learning to be a husband and take care of your wife and learn to take care of your children that you don't have yet. That's what you need to do. Where do you get that from? Well, Deuteronomy 24 is a good place to start. It says the first year of your marriage, you're not supposed to go out to war. You're supposed to stay home and comfort and cheer up your wife. Oops. Why'd you have to pull that one out? I don't know. I just couldn't get rid of it. It was just like right there. But you'll notice he was entitled. He said, you know what? You'll notice his father gave it to him. Sometimes God will give you something you think you want to allow you to end up in the pig pen of this life. That's called the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. His father gave him what he wanted. You know, I've met so many that believe they're entitled and that God and his church and others should just give them exactly what they want when they want it, and they don't care what the fallout will be or what will happen to when they do it. They don't care how it affects the church. They don't care how it affects themselves. They don't care how it affects their family. They don't care as long as they get what they want. That's a prodigal's heart. I'm entitled to it. Give me the portion of goods that befall me. Children are like that, aren't they? They can't weigh the consequences, understand the impact of their actions, right? They don't get that. It's like when they're hanging off of stuff and they're about ready to fall off, and you're like, don't do that. You're going to, yeah, like that right there, see? Like head first. Like he doesn't realize that that's going to go bonk. Right. See? So what's going to happen? He's going to fall off and hit his head. If somebody doesn't stop him, right? No, don't stop me. Give me the portion that befalls me. Don't really do it, but I mean, that's what they think, right? That's what church members think too a lot of times. That's what baby Christians think. And then they get mad when you call them baby Christians. Oh, man. Look, I've been saved 3 years. I'm not a baby. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Your Highness. Excuse me, Your Highness. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Sorry, it's what I experience. I mean, if I could paint a different story, it wouldn't work that well. The truth is stranger than fiction. And I'm telling you, my life has been strange. Next, number two or three or whatever number it is, the son rejected the plain path of duty. All right, if you want to be a prodigal, here's what you do. You ignore and reject the plain path of duty. This is where everyone that I've ever seen get in trouble gets. It's too boring just to live for God every day, to love your wife, to be a good employee at work, to work hard, to give to the Lord, to serve God, to submit to his church. It's too much. It's too boring. It's not enough pizzazz. No, preacher, you don't understand. I got to be preaching more. I got to be warring more. I agree, you got to be warring more. It's called right in your house. It's called learning to love. That's the training ground. That's the war. That's the one you have to learn. That's right. How are you going to war when you can't even show up for orders? How do you go warring after your own charge? Oops. Look, you don't understand what I need, Pastor. You just don't understand. You don't understand what I need. I know I don't. Won't you show me? That's what a child says to his parents, by the way. Yep. They never think their parents know what they're doing. Until you get older, then you figure out, well, they knew a lot more than I thought they did. Right? Man, that was pretty. I know. It's amazing how dumb you thought they were until you got older. Say, man, they're pretty smart. That's right. I learned how dumb I actually was. Boy, was that stupid. Boy, that was dumb. Children, I want to talk to you about that for a second. You don't have to be a prodigal. You know something? You don't have to sell out to the world. You don't have to run out of the church and live like hell and then come back with some grand testimony of being saved after you lived in the pig pen. You don't have to do that.
Amen.
You may never come back.
Amen.
You can repent now and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to live in the world and mar your mind and conscience with evil and then come back after that. You don't have to go through that. You got an opportunity to live for God for the rest of your life.
Amen.
You don't have to live like hell. It's not glamorous to grow up in a church and then curse God and run to the world and come back. No, it's downright pitiful and shameful, and you have to live with it for the rest of your life. The images that are in your head that can never be changed, never be erased, they're there. That's right. You got to deal with them for the rest of your life, and you don't have to. You don't have to get in the pig pen.
Amen.
You can stay in the castle.
Amen.
You can stay in God's house and live for Him forever. You want to know why I believe in church discipline? You want to know why I believe in holding the line? You want to know why? For them.
Amen.
For them. For them to see the truth. So they don't ever run out there and think it's glamorous out there. Look at me. You can be a prodigal sitting right in this room right now, rebellious as the devil. And you can do it. But if you think you can hold on to it, my friend, you can't. God's going to break you one way or another. I'm going to tell you that right now. God will break your rebellious heart and show you you are nothing and that you need Him. And may God do it now to you so you never go into the world. So you never flirt with the pig pen. You know, would to God I had a testimony that I never got into the world and was saved young and never lived a wicked life but stayed clean.
Amen.
I wish I could tell my kids that. I lived for God my whole life. I never got into this world. I wish I could tell my wife that. I never got into the world. Right? I never soiled myself with this world. But you know what? You can be a prodigal right in this chair right here. You can be just as rebellious and hard-hearted from this church seat right now. And you think you, and children, if you think you can hide that from God, you cannot hide that rebellion from God. God sees it and He's angry with it, and God will judge it one day. You say you're trying to scare me. You bet I am. If I may say, I'm trying to scare the hell out of you.
Amen.
And I mean it wholeheartedly when I say that. Because the Bible talks about you being swallowed up by hell.
Yep.
A heart filled with hell. Mm-hmm. Friend, that you don't have to be a prodigal. But you know how you become one? You leave the plain path of duty. When you want to leave the plain, when it's not good enough for you, when a young man tells me he's called to the ministry, but he leaves the plain path of duty, he's not fit for anything.
Right.
He turned his hand on the plow. He turned away from the plow. He's not fit.
Yeah.
He's not fit. You want to run out? You want to run out of the church? You want to run out of it? You ain't fit. You ain't fit. No. You're not fit. Yeah. Mm-mm. God's men are not quitters. They may get rebellious and they go the wrong way, but God will send a whale of a storm after you to pull you back in. That's right. But this prodigal, he left the plain path of duty. Look, I got from my father what I wanted. I got the blessings of God, so I'm going to take off and do what I want. I can't learn anymore from my father. I'll just leave. That's how people treat church. Well, I've learned everything I can. Look, Pastor, you don't understand what I need. You don't get it. So I've learned enough from you. I'm out of here. Loser. Kind of blunt, right? You know, it kind of like you kind of, you know what happens? That veil of innocency gets ripped off of a pastor after a while, and he starts to see things for how it really is. And also, God gives him his confidence back. Amen. And when that happens, look out. Look out. Here comes the fire. I can't learn any more from my church or my pastor. I know more than him. So I'll just leave. That's what a prodigal does. They get it in their heart, right? They leave the plain path of duty. What does the Bible say? It says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, it didn't take long that after he got blessed by his father, he gathered all together and took off and left his father's house. And he went it alone. He did go it alone. That's true. He did. They ought to have a t-shirt. It's like a club they're in. Goitalone.com. Look, his father just didn't understand what he needed. His father just didn't know everything his son knew. He knew better than dad. Yep, kids usually think that. Baby Christians usually think that. I know better than dad or better than my pastor. In essence, I know better than God. Well, dad, you have to understand something. God is leading me to do this. Well, son, God is not leading me to let you do that. So we have a problem.
Amen.
See how that works? When your son walks up, you say, look, dad, God's leading me to do this. Okay, I just want you to understand this. God's leading me to do this. He told me, you do this. Well, son, I got a problem because God didn't tell me that. So if I got a problem, son, then you have a problem. Right? Because God didn't tell me that. And you would think, since I'm the God-given authority over you, that he would tell me that. And he didn't tell me that. Here. So, son, you're going to have to show me here where God says it's okay for you to do that. Oh, I'll never mind. That had God just told me. I've heard it. Yeah. No, God is leading me to tell you to stick to the plain path of duty, which is your reasonable service. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to hurry here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the plain path of duty, your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, that's the plain path of duty there. By the way, it's proven in your life. It's proven in your life. Look, Pastor, you either tell me I'm called right now, or I'm out of here. You either tell me that you see the calling of God on my life, or I'm out of here. Did you need me to get the door? Pastor, that's not very nice. I wasn't trying to be. Well, you're always supposed to be nice. Really? Well, that's not what Paul said. I'm going to show you what Paul said. Shall I show you what Paul said? Oh, that Paul. Oh, Paul, right? You know, he didn't. Poor Paul. Okay, how about you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20. Actually, 19. Oh, actually, let's back up to 18. This is even better. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Paul said, I might be coming with the rod. What does the Bible say the rod is for? And what else? The fool's back. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's coming with the rod. That's coming with the authority that God has given and coming with it. Well, you're not an apostle. No, I'm a pastor. I didn't say I was an apostle. Exactly. Listen to me. When you and I cannot see the duties we have in front of us, but trade them for future dreams, we're being a prodigal. You may have, when you and I trade the plain path of duty for future dreams and future goals that we may have, and we're so fixated on all of that, and we are ignoring the plain path of duty, we're backslidden. We're prodigal. And it's out of order. That's right. And that's what happens. So many times I've seen it. Looking out and ignoring the plain path of duty, not seeing it, and they saying, well, you know, I can do this. Well, that's why the Bible starts way back here with this. How God works. By the way, he never, you know, you see how long before he left his father's house? He hatched his plan long before. It was in his mind. You know where you get in trouble? When you isolate your mind and you reason with yourself and you continue to reason with yourself, man, you can hatch any plan you want to. You can form any type of bias against people you want to. You can evil surmise all you want to. And then everybody's against you. Everybody's your enemy. Everything's the problem. Everybody's the problem but you. And everybody's against you. And you've hatched this all in your mind. And you wouldn't dare come tell the person you have a problem with. Why? Because they'd look at you like, are you nuts? What are you thinking? Just bounce something off somebody sometime when you're thinking that. You know why you won't do it? Because you sound like an idiot. That's why. You sound like a paranoid fool. Right. Exactly. Right. That's what happens. Exactly. When you say it, people look at you like, what is wrong with you? Yeah, you have been listening to the devil. And that's when people tell me they're led by God to do something against his book and against his church. And I'm like, I don't know if the Bible says try the spirits. You're led by God. Would you hear a voice? Because this doesn't tell me that you're supposed to do that. This tells me you're not supposed to do that. And you're doing the exact opposite of what this says. This is the authority. You know what happened? Christian did the same thing in Pilgrim's Progress. He left the plain path of duty. So Christian turned out of his way to go to Mr. Legality's house for help. But behold, when he was got now hard by the hill, it seemed so high, and also that side of it was next by the wayside did hang so much over that Christian was afraid to venture further, lest the hill should fall on his head. Wherefore there stood he, still he wanted not what to do. Also his burden now seemed heavier to him than while he was in his way, there came also flashes of fire out of the hill that made Christian afraid that he should be burned. Here, therefore, he sweat and did quake for fear. When Christians unto carnal men give ear, out of their way they go and pay for it dear. For master worldly wise men can but show a saint the way to bondage and to woe. And now he began to be sorry that he had taken Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel, and with that he saw Evangelist coming to meet him, at the sight also of whom he began to blush for shame. So Evangelist drew nearer and nearer, and coming up to him, he looked upon him with a severe and dreadful countenance, and thus began to reason with Christian. See, he said, there's a shortcut up there. No, there ain't no shortcut. There ain't no shortcut. Look, I'm going to preach a sermon to you coming up pretty soon, and it might be Sunday. There's one more baptism that I haven't preached about, and it's called the baptism of affliction. It's called the baptism of sorrow. It's called the baptism of anguish, and we need to talk about that because there ain't no man that I've ever seen be used of God that wasn't baptized in anguish. And when you see it, you can see it all over their face that they've never had that done. They've never had, and Jesus talked about that, and we need to talk about it. No. You're headed for the world when you leave the plain path of duty. What do I tell people? Get busy. Get to work. You know, listen, men, let me tell you something. You can't sit around and do nothing all day. You can't do that. You can't. You'll falter. Of all the men I have seen become prodigals that I have witnessed in this church, you know what the common denominator was in all of it? Every single one of those men did not have work to keep them busy full time. They were sitting on their couch, evil surmising about everybody else, working part-time, Wi-Fi would short their brain out. They had all kinds of stuff go wrong with them. They had every excuse in the book. They were making websites and they were doing all this other stuff. Making men organic again. They were doing all that fancy stuff. Make America organic again. That'd be a great website. Man, what am I doing, man? I need to do that now. Anyway, sorry. It just gets up there and it just, you know, just kind of comes. You got to stay busy. I'm telling you, I've seen the common denominator. They don't leave their room. They don't leave their house. They don't leave it, and they go crazy. They stay on the computer all day. They don't talk to anybody. Yeah, they block out the people that are closest to them and ignore them. Do you understand? You got to be busy. You got to keep busy. Now, sometimes your job might be to work on a computer. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is you know what I'm saying. I'm saying, look, don't go try to be a superhero from your mom's basement, okay? Or mother-in-law's. Whichever. Doesn't matter. And don't be scared of Wi-Fi. That's all I can say. It won't hurt you. Well, maybe it might in the future, but not right now. It won't short your brain out or anything. If you're chipped, yeah, stay away from my design. Might be a bad thing if you're chipped. But anyway, that's you get the point, right? Keep busy. Listen to me. The first 5 years of this ministry, I ran a business full time, and I pastored, and I still work part time now. I still do. I'm going Monday, and I'm going to be doing appointments all day Monday. Yeah, and we still went door to door, and we still went door knocking, and we still handed out thousands of tracts, and we still did all and ate Subway and ate chicken. And now I don't like Subway. Lee does. But I like Jimmy John's better. Anyway. Except when it gives Aaron a heart attack. I don't like that. That's bad. I've swore off number nines for a while since Aaron like did that on the street. That was just like too much for me. Did you eat too? But what'd you do that for? Yeah, but you don't keep up with him. Look, it's not a Jimmy John's challenge. My goodness gracious. Okay, anyway. But keep busy. Men need to keep busy. When you're not keeping busy, you got everything to think about. And God meant you to be busy. And get out of your house. I come to this office and I work and I go because I need to get out. I need to be out. I need to be doing the things I need to do. I need to be working on things at work and get out. And get doing something. So your wife can manage the house and do the things that she needs to do. Amen. You don't need to be there all day like that doing that. Go do something. Go get to work. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. And then the half the problems with today people is they're too idle. What was the problem with Sodom? Yeah. Get to work. The time you spend with your wife is much sweeter when you're not with her all the time. It is. As much as I love being with my wife, I have 5 children. And that's what they do. Every time I get close to her. That's what they do. Right? That's what they do. Every time you get close, that's what they do. Yeah? That's how it works. But you know what? The time is sweeter when you're laboring and doing what God wants you to do. That's what you got to do. I'm telling you, friend, that's what you got to do. It's the way God intended to be. Next, the heart of a prodigal is full of his own ways. He's a backslider at heart. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider at heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Many a man in the name of God still leans on their own understanding. When you keep evil surmising in your heart and your imagination runs and overloads and you never talk to anyone, you don't repent of the naughtiness of your heart, you will become a prodigal. I've met so many that go it alone far before they leave the church or leave the will of God. They're filled with their own ways, backslidden because when they utter such nonsense to others, they are ashamed of how much of a fool they are to think such things. But when you isolate yourself in your own mind, Satan plays ping pong in your head. That's what happens. Mm-hmm, it is. That's why you got to keep active, keep busy, keep praying, keep singing, keep rejoicing. Keep fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life. And keep coming to church and talk to somebody, will you? Yeah, come on. And I don't mean yourself in your head. And you know what? If you're feeling, go do something for somebody else. You ain't that great anyway. Quit thinking about yourself that much. You ain't nothing to think about. Go do something for somebody else. If you don't like that, I'll say it again. Quit thinking about yourself too much. You ain't worth that much anyway. Neither am I. We don't need to think about ourselves like that too much, thinking over and over and over again about ourselves and woe is me and all this other stuff. No, you don't have time for that. Go help somebody. Go do something for God. Yeah. Yeah, he's right. Go love somebody. Go do something for somebody. Go send somebody a text. Go write to somebody. Go encourage somebody. Listen to me. You don't think God doesn't see your heart, the fact that you're not broken for your rebellion to God and into his word? When you have that heart of a prodigal, God can see that. God knows that you have a backslidden heart. Kids, you don't think God can't see that? That you're not broken for your rebellion to God? He sees it. You better be careful. If he gives you what you want, it will come with an awful lesson and a price that is too great for you to pay. No, Pastor, you don't understand what I need. God is leading me to do this. No, Dad, you don't understand. God is leading me to do this. And he left you out of it. Never mind the church and the pastoral epistles and like a child. Look, Dad, I know better than you. Give me, I'm gone. Give me what I want. No self-denial, no taking up your cross and following him, no crucified life. Self, self, self. No, he must increase and I must decrease, but self, self. What makes self happy? See the folly of many young men, wrote Matthew, I believe it was Matthew Henry, who are religiously educated but are impatient of the confinement of their education and never think themselves their own masters, their own men, till they have broken all God's bands in sunder and cast away his cords from them and instead of them bound themselves with the cords of their own lust. Here is the original of the apostasy of sinners from God. They will not be tied up to the rules of God's government. They will themselves be as gods, knowing no other good and evil than what themselves please. He was willing to get from under his father's eye, for that was always a check upon him, and often gave a check to him. A shyness of God and a willingness to disbelieve his omniscience are the bottom of the wickedness of the wicked. He was distrustful of his father's management. He would have his portion of goods himself, for he thought that his father would be laying up for hereafter for him, and in order to that, would limit him in his present expenses, and that he did not like it. When you don't trust that leadership that God has given you, when they've not sinned against you and done wickedly or anything like that, when you don't trust that leadership that God, what you're saying is, God, I don't trust you. I don't think you have my best interests at heart. Listen to this. He was proud of himself, and he had a great conceit of his own sufficiency. He thought that if he had but his portion in his own hands, he could manage it better than his father did. Sound familiar? And make a better figure with it. There are more young people ruined by pride. Listen! There are more young people ruined by pride than by any one lust whatsoever. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you walk around, listen, you want to see yourself destroyed, you take a little bit of talent God's given you and you get proud about it. That God's given something. That God's gifted you with something. As if you've done it yourself and God's given you something and you become proud of it. Ah, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God doesn't use a proud man. He breaks a proud man. And if they won't break, they'll be ground to dust. Mm-hmm. That's right. There are more young people ruined by pride than by any one lust whatsoever. Our first parents ruined themselves and all theirs by a foolish ambition to be independent and not be beholden even to God himself. And this is at the bottom of sinners persisting in their sin. They will before themselves. That is the heart of a prodigal. It's also the heart of a fool. Because a prodigal is a fool. They ignore instructions. Warnings mean nothing to them. I'm going to read you some verses about pride. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs 10:8. Verse number 18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Oh, I love this church. I love you, Pastor. Really? Then show it. You know, if I told my kids and my wife that I loved them and I never showed it, what would that make them think of love? Right. Mm-hmm. And not showed. It's sad. It's really sad. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The prodigal ignored the godly testimony and instructions of his father who loved him to do whatever he wanted to do, filled with his own ways. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Just because someone is quiet doesn't mean they're humble. I'll tell you that right now. A humble man is quiet and follows instructions. Amen? Mm-hmm. He follows instructions. He doesn't hold in secret rebellion, but he follows instructions and he learns. A humble man, your children can be prodigals in their hearts, holding in secret rebellion. Their lack of open rebellion does not mean they are not hiding a rebellious heart. Do you understand that? You can walk around here, kids, and you can act like you're happy with everything and you're pleased and everything else like that, but you can be hiding a heart of rebellion. But it's not hidden very well because God's going to let it come out. Do you understand that? It'll come out. If you're rebellious, it'll come out. If your heart is rebellious, it comes out. It shows. No one knows you better than the people that live with you. Let me ask you a question, children. Please listen very closely when I ask you this. Would your mom and dad give me a different story than the one that you present when you come to church? Would they? Why feignest thou to be another? Wife, would your husband give a different account of who you are? Would she tell a different story at home? Husband? I can ask you the same question. Wife, I can ask you the same question. Think about it. Am I different? Am I consistent? Am I who I am? To the glory of God? Or am I a rebel? Am I feigning to be something that I'm not? I'm not saying you're not saved. There's people that are saved that are rebellious, of course. Right? We know about rebellion. Right? We know about being backslidden. We know what that means. Amen? But would the story be different? If it is, ask yourself why. Are you afraid to show people who you really are? Are you a prodigal? Is that in your heart? Your children can be prodigals in their heart. They can hold on to that rebellion. God help you if you're a rebel in your heart. You better repent. You're a fool filled with your own ways. I don't care if you're a young fool or an old fool. Doesn't matter to me. A fool's a fool. You understand? And you're still going to answer to that God. Well, you say, I don't like people. Look, the Bible says there's Christian fools. Go listen to A.W. Pink's message on that. He wrote a sermon on that. I don't agree with this hyper-Calvinism, but what he said in there is true. Jesus said to them, oh, you fools, it's slow of heart and foolish. He told them they were fools. They didn't believe all that God had said. A fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Do you disregard your father's instruction? Do you despise it? Let me ask you a question, young man, young lady. Do you despise your father's instructions when he gives them? What does that mean to despise? It means not to hate. It means to make little of, to have a very little and low opinion of. Do you have a very low opinion of your father's instructions? What does the Bible say about that? It says, a fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing that he hath no heart to hear it? No heart to it, excuse me. Heart has been on his own ways, filled with his own ways. I've spent hours talking to people. Hours. Where nothing gets through to them. Their heart is so full of their own ways that they will not listen. And you see them basically running into the fire with no protection, and they won't listen. Hardened heart. That's right, and that's the next thing we're going to talk about, and I'm going to try to hurry. His heart was not tender or broken when he left his father's house. When a man is a prodigal, he does not care about others, only his agenda and what will make him happy. Doesn't care for how his actions will affect anyone. The prodigal did not care if he broke his father's heart. Let me ask you a question. Do you care if you break your father or your mother's heart? Do you even care? Does what I'm saying even matter to you? Does it? Is it getting through to you? Are you hearing it? You don't care if you break your father or your mother's heart? Or your pastor's heart? Or how your actions affect the church or anything else? It's all about self. The heart of a prodigal becomes brazen. Hard. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now, it's important to note here that it doesn't say God hardened his hearts. God tells him, don't you harden your heart. One blow for Calvinism. That's what it says. God says, don't you harden your heart. Yeah. Now, I believe there's a judicial hardening that God will do. But I don't believe I believe he does that because of the hardness that is there. Right. Right. Yeah. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. And said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath they should not enter my rest. They didn't care if they grieve. They didn't care if they grieve their mom, their dad, their pastor, their brethren. They're hardened. Their hearts are hardened. Is your heart so hardened that you don't care if your rebellion affects other people? That's a prodigal. You don't care if your blatant disobedience to God affects other people, your blatant disobedience to your parents, your blatant disrespect for others. Does that matter to you? Do you care? If you don't, ask yourself, why don't I? Why am I not broken? Why am I not broken over my sin? Why am I not broken over my rebellion? Why am I not broken over it? Why am I not crying out to God for for forgiveness? Do you have to go to the pig pen to do right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Is it a little matter to you that you grieve God's Spirit with your rebellion? Is that a little matter? Ask yourself that question, is it? Am I okay with grieving God's Spirit? Do I sleep well with that? Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Tender hearted, ready to forgive, in honor preferring another before yourself. Think about that. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do you think God doesn't see your sinful heart? Do you think God does not see your rebellious heart? Do you think God does not see a prodigal's heart? I preached a sermon a long time ago called Steps That Led Him Far From Home. These are the steps that led him far from home. Home from the communion with God, from the fellowship of the saints, from the church of the Lord. And in your own heart, the communion that you have with God, how far away are you? How far away have you drifted? Are you in communion with him? Right? Are you? Are you a prodigal? Have you wandered? Have you wandered in your heart? Have you wandered? Oh, my friend, your feet are not far from wandering if your heart is wandering now. If your heart is away from God, if the fire is not of the Holy Ghost is not burning in your heart now, how far are you away from God? How far are you away from your feet doing what your heart has already done? How far? Good question. Here's another question. How long will you allow your heart to be away? How long will you allow your heart to go astray? How long? Do you even care? Is it important? Is it important to you? Do you have the heart of a prodigal? Ask yourself. Maybe you already know. Maybe you should repent. Maybe you should get right with God now. Maybe you shouldn't wait any longer. The longer you wait, the colder you get. The longer you wait to submit, the less opportunity you have to. I've seen people where they could not repent. They had gone too far, and they could not repent. Will that be you? Will that be you? Do you care? Does it matter to you? As a child, as an adult, is it important to you? You have to keep a tender heart. A heart that is in tune with the Holy Spirit. One that is led by His Word. Not led by emotions or feeling or passions, but led by His Word. One that places Him above all other things. God will not share his glory with any other. If idols are set up in your heart, God will deal with those idols. If you're the idol, God will crush it. I'll leave you with this verse, the warning that God gave. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Don't harden your heart. If God is speaking to it, you get it right, you deal with it. You lay it out there and you get it right with God. And you confess your sins to the Lord and you get them right with God today. And you confess to those that are in authority over you and those that have loved you, or you get with your wife or your husband or your family or your mom and dad, and you sit on there and you get right with mom and dad if you've been wrong with them. Don't you wait. You submit yourself unto God. You submit yourself unto your parents and trust the Lord through it. Father, Lord, we thank you. Help us, Lord. We don't want to have a prodigal's heart. And Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't. I pray, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts with love. Help us, dear Jesus, I pray. Amen.